This week we're going to continue with the topic of God's grace for God's people. A couple of the definitions we looked at last week that'll help you remember grace. Because as wonderful as grace is, we tend to forget it. At least we forget what the biblical definition of it is. But I like this one, God's riches at Christ's expense. And then one where we hear often, God's unmerited or unearned favor. In our Monday night discipleship group, we ran across this week in the EPC Leadership Training Guide, God acting freely in mercy on His chosen ones, supplying favor and salvation. And then Wayne Grudem, grace, God's goodness towards those who deserve only punishment. Grace comes from the Greek word called charis. It's where we get the English words charisma or charismatic. And there is lots of grace when we look at the Bible. Last week we looked at the God of all grace. We looked at the grace of election. We looked at saving grace. We looked at the grace of the cross, God's grace in our weakness, the grace that is yet to come, and then we finished up with more grace. So we'll look at seven more. We'll move through them pretty quick. Dave Galbraith back there already grabbed me this morning and put me in a headlock for doing more than 3 points. But the first one this morning we're going to look at is the grace of God's Word. And this is from Acts 20:32. This is the end of Paul visiting with the elders from Ephesus. And he says this to them, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Like I said, we're going to move pretty quickly through these 7 points, but I want to look at 4 things from this verse as we just start with the word, the grace of God's word. First thing Paul does to these elders who have come from Ephesus and met him as he's on his way back to Jerusalem, Paul commends them to God and to the word of His grace. He commends them to that. He puts them under God's word. It's the same word, commend, that Jesus used when He said, "Father, into Your hands I commit My spirit. I commend My spirit." So the word of His grace is basically the gospel that we summarize in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. And we can expand that to include all of God's great and precious promises. So when we apply that to our own lives, we commend ourselves to the word of God's grace. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. And then the word of His grace is able to do certain things. It's powerful. It's like dynamite. The word that's used in the Greek sounds like our word power or dynamite. It's able to build us up. It's able to strengthen us, to edify us, to benefit us. It's able to give us an inheritance among those who are sanctified. All these things, the grace of God's Word. And what is the inheritance of the saints? Eternal life in the presence of God forever, in union with all who have gone before and all those who will come after. Those who are sanctified, those who are made holy, those who are consecrated, those who have been dedicated, those who God has purified and forgiven. It's all included and the grace of God's Word. And if we are being commended to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build us up and to give us the inheritance among all those who are sanctified, then what must we do as God's people? How should we react? What are our next steps? Let me grab my Bible. I want to show you. The first thing we are to do is to go blow the dust off our Bibles. Because, you know, even as Christians, we can let the dust grow a little bit. You know what I mean? It's hard sometimes to read it every single day. So we're to blow the dust off our Bibles, read the Bible, submit ourselves to it. You're going to see in the next few weeks some Bible reading plans. We always put a bunch of them out in the month of December. January is always a good time to recommit ourselves to reading the Bible daily. I'll put usually 4, 5, 6 plans out there. So there'll be those you can grab and begin to commend yourself to the Word of God's grace. Maybe join a Bible study. If you're not in a Bible study, ask me, how do I join a Bible study, Pastor Steve? We've got some going on we can get you plugged into. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said this, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." It's the grace of God's Word. I love this story, and you've probably heard this one before. There was a man in Kansas City years ago who was severely injured in an explosion, and his face was badly disfigured, and he lost his eyesight as well as both hands. He was a new Christian, and one of his greatest disappointments was that he could no longer read the Bible. Then he heard about a lady in England who read Braille with her lips. She would hold the Braille Bible up and touch the little dots with her lips, and she could read the Bible by touching the page with her lips. Hoping to do the same, he sent for some books of the Bible in Braille. Much to his disappointment, he discovered that the nerve endings on his lips had been destroyed as well by the explosion. And one day, as he brought one of the Braille pages to his lips, his tongue happened to touch a few of the raised characters. And he discovered that he could feel the little dots with his tongue. And in a moment, he said, "I can read the Bible with my tongue." And when this story was written, the place that I found it, the man had read the Bible through 4 times with his tongue. Imagine that. That's a Bible with no dust on it. So I want to encourage you. We're never going to do that. But we can blow the dust off our Bibles and commend ourselves to the Word, which is God's grace for us. Number 2, there's the grace of comfort and good hope. Is there anyone here this morning that could use comfort and hope? I think we could all raise our hands. Then this next passage is for you. It's from 2 Thessalonians 2. "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word." Here you have the Apostle Paul praying that both Jesus Christ and God the Father would comfort our hearts and establish them in every good work and word. And if you're looking for eternal comfort and good hope through grace, then stop looking. It's right here. It says right here that He's already given us that. It's past tense. So why don't we pause right here and pray for this very thing to be a reality in our lives. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are a people that are in need of eternal comfort and good hope through grace. It often seems very elusive to us as we are tempted, as we struggle, as we so often forget your great and precious promises. So I pray for all of us here this morning that we would know that you love us and that you have given us already eternal comfort and good hope through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we know it to be true through the gospel. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Our next one is the abundance of grace. Have you ever wondered if there was enough grace to go around? Was there going to be enough when you got there to get your share of grace? Was there going to be any left? Through Jesus Christ, believers receive an abundance of grace. It tells us this in Romans 5:17. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. An abundance, a surplus, more than enough to go around. There is no scraping the bottom of the barrel to get what we desperately need. In Christ, death no longer has the final say. We receive an abundance of grace, which is the free gift of righteousness. And as a result, we will reign in life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Even through our sufferings, even through our pain, even through our diseases, we will reign through life, in life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, this grace is not only abundant, it is also overflowing, which is our fourth aspect of grace this morning. And we see this in 1 Timothy 1:12-14. Paul writes to Timothy, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. You know, Paul wasn't the kind of guy to hand out generic thanksgivings. Whenever he gave thanks to God, he knew who and where, from where the thanksgivings came from, and he was not shy about letting the recipients of his letters know. Paul says, I thank him, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he used our Lord, not my Lord here. He wanted to know that we were included. Jesus is not an exclusive private Savior. He thanks him who had given him strength because he was weak. He gives thanks to him who had judged him faithful. Faithful, not because he was relying on his own strength, but on the strength that God was supplying him. And also because he had appointed him to his service. Is anyone overwhelmed by what they perceive God is calling them to? Is life difficult? Is it a challenge? Well, the grace of the Lord, as it overflowed for Paul, it also overflows for us. And it's how God supplies everything that we need. He has appointed us to his service. He has given us the strength to answer His call with the overflowing grace. He has judged us faithful in advance. For it is God who works in us both to will and to work for His good pleasure. 1 Timothy 1:14, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. In the Greek text, the sentence begins with the word overflowing. It's the first word that you would read. And it means to abound, over and beyond, to be present in great abundance, to abound exceedingly, above its usual measure. When a river overflows its banks, it means it cannot be contained any longer. It spreads its influence out beyond its normal boundaries. I used to go to a waterfall in North Georgia when I was in college, and I would camp out there at the bottom of the waterfall, and you'd get all dirty and gritty, and you'd get out of Athens, Georgia, and get up in the North Georgia mountains, and you'd plunge yourself into that waterfall early in the morning, and you'd stretch out your arms, and you'd just get a sense of cleansing and refreshment from all the campfire smoke and the grit that had attached itself to you from camping and really just being a college student. The waterfall overflowed with a sense of cleansing and refreshing power to revigorate your life. In a small way, that describes the overflowing grace of God in our own lives through Jesus Christ. Does that describe what God has done for you? Are you growing in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus? Briefly, we've looked at the grace of God's Word, the grace of comfort and hope, the abundance of grace, overflowing grace, and now the grace that abounds. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. And then Romans 5:20 and 21. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What does it mean to abound, for grace to abound? It means to occur or to exist in great quantities, to be well supplied, to be filled. And so a grace that is abounding means that God's goodness occurs in great quantities and is available to well supply and fill those who deserve only punishment. And I'm convinced in my life, and I'm sure you are as well, that it's easy to miss abounding grace. It happens all the time. Folks who deserve only God's punishment fail to recognize and receive God's goodness that is available in record quantities. The first man, Adam, first man that God ever made, he blew it big time and affected all of us. He was made in the image of God. He was the perfect specimen, the first human being, and although he was without sin, he had the capacity to sin. And sin he did. All he had to do was enjoy God's garden, receive the wonderful provision, marvel at God's creation. And by the way, he also had to obey God's perfect. He had to obey God perfectly. But he sinned, and this is why we misunderstand the goodness of God that's all around us. It's why we're broken. It's why we're sick. It's why we're discouraged. It's why the world is full of war and famine and disease. terrorism and economic hardship and crime and murder and corruption. That's why things are a mess. As we look at Romans 5, 20 and 21, let's back up just a few verses and see some more evidence of grace abounding from Him to us. Look at Romans 5:15. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by that the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And then verse 16, the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. Verse 17, if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. And then verse 18, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. By the way, we will start a sermon series on the book of Romans. I'm looking forward to that. We'll do that in January, right after the Christmas series. And this brings us to the sixth point of God's grace this morning. And this is stewards of God's grace. As easy as it would be just to rest and receive abundant, abounding, overflowing grace, God calls us to do something with it, especially His gracious gifts. We are responsible to put them to use in His kingdom to glorify them. As Peter puts it, we're called to be good stewards of God's varied grace. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion and forever and ever. Amen. God gives us these grace gifts to serve one another by the strength that He provides. And if you don't know how God has gifted you, call me, text me, email me, make an appointment, see one of your elders. When one of your elders calls you, say, Elder, Pastor, how can I serve? How do I get connected in one of the ministries in North Oaks to serve by one of God's grace gifts? We'll strive to get you plugged in, to get you serving. And then our last one this morning is the throne of grace. I thought that finishing here at the throne of grace was most appropriate. And that's Hebrews 4:16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. A couple of things to remember here. God's throne is a throne of grace. Yes, it's a throne of judgment, but for God's people, it's a throne of grace. And that is very good news for us. And we can draw near to this throne. That is also very good news. God's throne is a throne of grace. that we can approach through the name of Jesus Christ. We can draw near to this throne of grace with confidence. Doesn't mean we're not going to be trembling a little bit, but we can draw near to it confidently that we can receive the very things that we need in this life. Once we are there, we can receive mercy and find grace in time of need, which is all the time. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come now before the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We've actually been there all morning as we gathered here, as we sang, as we prayed, as we've listened, as we've pondered the scriptures being read. Thank you that your throne is a throne of grace and that we can come before you with confidence and receive mercy and find grace to help. Would you help us this morning? Our needs are various. We are a needy people. And we need grace. Help us. That is our prayer in Christ's name.